there is a certain Asian country, and for the life of me, I did a brief Google search and I could not quickly find out which one it was, but one of the Asian nations, up until just last century, one of their war tactics when they were fighting, when they would take a prisoner of war, if they were out in the battlefield and they were concerned that that individual might escape or those individuals might flee, what they would do is they would cut off the pinky toe of the POWs, because what happens when a person loses their pinky toe? It can take up to 6 months to learn how to walk again. You lose your entire balance, your equilibrium is lost, and so they couldn't flee. My brothers and sisters, the effects of one member of the body on the entire body are beyond what we can understand, even sometimes those seemingly insignificant parts of our body. You know, if you have a sick stomach or you have a migraine headache, what happens? Your whole body stays in bed that day. If you got a broken ankle and the doctor has to put a cast in it, your entire leg, all the muscles atrophy while you've got that cast on your leg. It affects everything. St. Paul says today that what is true of our physical body is analogously true of the mystical body of Christ. That everything we do, because we are one in Christ, affects the entire body, the church. And this is something I think we hardly ever think about, both for good and for ill. I remember Mother Teresa of Calcutta. She had a young lady join her community. And she went to Calcutta for a year of discernment to see, am I really called to this order? And over the course of that year, she started having medical problems and she had to return home to England at the end of that year. They were the first signs of her MS, of her multiple sclerosis. Well, Mother Teresa at that point felt like God was revealing to her that she was to extend her order and start a new branch, the Sick and Suffering Co-workers of the Missionaries of Charity. And she said, those who are sick and suffering all throughout the world, that does not inhibit you from being part of our community. And when there would be big events coming up or major prayers that needed to be said, she would call those co-workers. And she said, they are the most important part of our community because we are so in need of their sufferings and their sacrifices. I remember I was visiting the Carmelites up in Georgetown not too long ago. And over the course of the conversation, I was with the 14 sisters or so. Somehow it came up, the ministry of deliverance. And the Mother Superior said, oh, Father, we got to share something with you. We've actually had some crazy events going on in our monastery recently. We got a letter about 2 weeks ago from a priest on the East Coast, and he's an exorcist, and he asked if our community would remember the possessed individual in our prayers. She said, whenever we get a letter like that, we really discern, is it God's will that we undertake this? Because she says, when we do, things get pretty squirrely around the monastery. She said, because God allows us to endure the spiritual attack for the sake of that priest and that individual. Because we're one in Christ. I remember St. Therese of Lisieux, when she would come up to receive Holy Communion, she revealed that she would ask Our Lady for her heart, because Our Lady's heart is what is most readily prepared to receive her son. And finally, one of the sisters, when she learned that, she said, Therese, how can you do that? And she looked at her sister and she said, well, we're part of the same body. Right? The church, there's the church militant on earth. There's the church suffering in purgatory. Then there's the church triumphant in heaven. Our Lady is part of the one same body of Christ and I am. So when I receive Holy Communion, I just borrow her heart. Amazing. But we are one in Christ. And so sometimes I'll have someone come to confession. And they'll say, Father, you know, I realize, you know, the church says I shouldn't be doing this, but, you know, is it really a big deal? Does my sin affect anybody else? I do it in the privacy of my home, the privacy of my room. What does it matter? My brothers and sisters, could you imagine if you asked somebody, how's your health? And they said, well, you know, my kidney's dying, but other than that, I'm pretty good. Well, the kidney dies, the whole body's going to die. Or if they said, well, I've got a little bit of gangrene on my toe, but I don't think I'm going to go to the doctor. That infection will spread. When one member of the body of Christ is involved in sin, it affects the rest of the body. It's a wound, it's a hindrance. But beautifully, all the more true, because grace is far more powerful than sin, every good deed, every prayer that we say, every charitable act, it permeates. It has a ripple effect. The tiniest good deed. You know, you go and you give a smile to a homeless person, and it transforms their day. And then they say a kind word to someone who stops their car. And then that person goes home in a better mood. And all down through the course of history, because of one tiny good deed, the effects the body of Christ can have. So what is the greatest thing we can do as a member of the body? It's to become a saint. If you become a saint, and so sometimes people come to me and they say, well, gosh, Father, you know, who am I? I'm nobody. I don't do anything good. I'm elderly. I'm a stay-at-home wife. And I thought it's so beautiful. The Holy Spirit put this on my heart when we have the handicapable mass today. Gosh, Father, I'm sick or suffering. I can't get out of my wheelchair. What can I do? How does God determine the value of any act? It is the love with which that act is done. It doesn't matter who you are. The holiest person who ever lived was a stay-at-home mom, our Blessed Mother Mary. She didn't work a miracle. She didn't see any vision. She didn't cast out any demons. If you ask any priest, a good, faithful, holy priest, if you ask them, how do you do what you do, Father? You know the first thing they'll say? Because I have so many people praying and sacrificing for me. It's not me. It's the body of Christ meriting graces for me. I close with this. Not too long ago, probably a couple of years ago, I got a call to a local hospital to give somebody last rites. And I was kind of surprised because I didn't know this person and the hospital has a chaplain. But I make my way to the hospital and I go and I enter into this woman's room and she says, Father, I have a couple of weeks left to live, probably. They say I'm very close, maybe only a few days. And she said, Father, I asked the nurse if she would call you. And I said, okay, call me. And you know, as a priest, you meet so many people. You know, sometimes people come up and say, oh, Father, good to see you again. You go, gosh, where have I met this person? You know, who is this? And so I'm wondering, gosh, do I know her? And she says, Father, you don't know me. She said, but I'm aware of you and your ministry. And she said, so Father, I wanted you to be the one to come here because I feel like our Lord has placed on my heart that I'm supposed to offer these last days and weeks of my life for your priesthood. I thought, imagine how many graces that woman obtained so that I could be a better priest because we are one in Christ. My brothers and sisters, every time you receive the Holy Eucharist, you do more for the church than at any other time because our Lord Jesus Christ comes into you and He pervades His entire body, the church. May we ask our Lord for the grace as we receive Him today to understand this mystery more fully. What it means to be one in Him, that we are truly all united and everything we do does make a difference.